Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good day to you. It is December 24th. Happy Hanukkah. It's Christmas Eve. It's a gorgeous day to get out to play or finish your holiday shopping at your favorite pro shop, Poipu Bay. They've got specials, 50% off, selected men's and women's tops and bottoms. Or a gift card. A gift card. Yes, that's the idea. So you can get over to Poipu Bay and you could play a round of golf if you want to get one in today. There's an 8:50, a 9:10 after 1 o'clock in the Southside Men's Club getting out to play today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. On Oahu, maybe you want to go to Kapolei. They've got an opening at 9 o'clock and check out the Pro Shop for their specials to fill out your Christmas list, shopping list. Rahawine Country Club has a 9:50 as well. Olamana has a 9:10. Makaha East has a 9:30. And they've all got Pro Shops. So, you know, they're small businesses. Go support your small businesses. Wailea on Maui, you can go 9:36. There's an opening on Emerald, 9:56. Great stuff in the Pro Shop. Maui Nui, you may know that as El Air. It's Maui Nui. Good morning, Captain Kirk. There's a 9:36 and a 10:44, and Volcano on the Big Island, a 10:10, an 8:32 at Makalei. And again, go support your small businesses. They're called Pro Shops. The Alawai Pro Shop is open. And our show today, Alex Myers from Golf Digest, David Smallwood, the director of agronomy, Kapalua Golf Resort, the Sony Open in Hawaii, and Zach Kaneshiro, HSJGA. He's participating in the HTA Pro Junior Challenge. Bryson DeChambeau is going to be, yes, DeChambeau is going to be playing in the HTA Pro Junior Challenge Tuesday before the Sony Open kicks off. And all the way from Australia, Chef Warwick Hilly is going to join us. He's featured in Golf Kitchen. But before we go to Australia, I have a present for you. Attila Sarres, owner of SOS Tech Solutions, is going to help you. You know, all the security breaches you hear about, what does that mean for your life? But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for 10 years. It's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. By Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, and Aim Point certified Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors. And Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing.
And the Tournament of Champions on the Plantation Course at Kapalua, the winner's only event, January 4th through the 8th at Kapalua, where the champions come to play. All right, we've got so much going on. When we talk about the year in review, I was going over the top stories of 2016 through the eyes of many, including Secret Tour Pro. His top 10 is presented by this mystery man who reportedly is very inside the PGA Tour and European Tour, possibly even a player, but he does not divulge who he is. So his number 10 is the Duel of the Sons, as he calls it, Stenson and Mickelson at the Open. Number 9, Heroes of Hazeltine, of course, the U.S. wins Ryder Cup. Number 8 is Adam Scott. Number 7 is Miracle McIlroy, unlikeliest of champs, I thought, winning the FedEx Cup, coming from way behind. He's gotten up to number 6, the Golf in the Olympics, and Rosie's return to Rio. Golf Digest, I'm going to just start with number 10. They did the top 18, of course, 18 holes of golf, top 18 stories. Number 10 for them was Andrew Beef Johnston. Okay. Number 9, Arnold Palmer's passing. Number 8, 58, some other low scores. Jim Furyk, 58. Number 7, LPGA's Young Guns. Number 6, Sunday's Master Meltdown by Jordan Spieth. Number 5, the USGA rules controversies. Number 4, Henrik Stenson. Number 3, golf returns to Olympics. Number 2, the U.S. Ryder Cup victory. And number 1, Dustin Johnson. Now, you can see it's very interesting how different people see things in different ways. And Alex Myers is the associate editor at Golf Digest, and he puts out something called The Grind. It's a column. Every Tuesday, it's a great column because it gives you different perspectives. He takes the world of golf seriously, but he also takes it with a grain of salt. So he adds all the social media things that happen, odd things. And I was wondering if Tiger Woods' Mac Daddy Santa has made your list. Welcome to the show, Alex Myers.
Hey, Danielle. How's it going?
Excellent. And did Tiger Woods' Mac Daddy Santa... Oh. Make your list of the top stories.
Okay, I'm going to keep you in suspense because I know you asked me for my top stories. And like you said, I combined the serious with the not so serious. So I broke up my top 10 into 5 serious and 5 not so serious. So I'll do the 5 serious first. And we start with Tiger, the serious stuff, which was just the whole year we had this anticipation of what's going on with this guy. You know, he posted that video of him hitting the shot in the simulator. And then will he come back? Will he not? He finally did come back. So it just kind of showed, even when he doesn't play, he really does move the needle still. He's still the biggest story. Number 4 is Dustin Johnson. I mean, we've been waiting for this breakout for a long time, but it finally happened this year. He was clearly the player of the year, obviously. The big victory coming at Oakmont at the U.S. Open. Nice to see him finally get a first major. Number 3, on a sadder note, the passing of Arnold Palmer. I think we'll remember this year by that. You know, for younger people as myself, it was at least it was a nice opportunity to get to hear more about this great legend. It almost became a celebration of his life, really, and just all the great stories and great things that he did in his life. Number 2 and number 1 are both events. We have, I thought the British Open, which I was fortunate enough to be at, as Secret Tour Pro called it, the Duel in the Suns. I was calling it something. I forgot the Duel in the Gray or something. The weather wasn't that great. I don't know. Anyway, it was spectacular to watch. Obviously, Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson just separating themselves from the rest of the field with just an incredible display of golf. Stenson with that 63 on Sunday to match Johnny Miller is the only person to do that in the final round of a major. And number 1, the Ryder Cup. What an event. Again, I've never been the biggest Ryder Cup fan. I was fortunate enough to be there. I was even more fortunate enough to be there for that Rory versus Patrick Reed match on Sunday. When they made those 2 birdies on the 8th hole, I will never forget it. I still get chills thinking about it. Just one of the most amazing back-and-forth displays of golf you'll ever see, and the intensity was incredible. Okay, let's do some not-so-serious. Not-so-serious. Number 5, Mac Daddy Santa. You said it before. I mean, where did this come from? Tiger posted a picture the other day. If anybody didn't see it, you have to Google it. Mac Daddy Santa, Tiger Woods posing shirtless with sunglasses. I think it was an Oakland Raiders hat and a white beard that he dyed. And he says... The best part about it is he says this is a Christmas tradition that his kids love.
For his kids!
It's just very odd. So A, that it's a tradition, and B, that his kids like this. I thought it was someone had hacked his account. I thought it was a fake movie poster. I didn't know what to think. But maybe this is a new franchise, Christmas movies, Mac Daddy Santa, where he goes around, you know, rescuing presents that are going to get stolen or something. Anyway, so Mac Daddy Santa makes the list. Number 4, we have Andrew Beef Johnson, who actually yesterday did his own Mac Daddy Santa. He copied Tiger. He called it Beef Mac Beef Santa, and he joked. He said it's a tradition that his friends get a kick out of. I think he was obviously imitating Tiger, and hopefully Tiger won't be too upset about that because Beef, you know, we grew to love him this year. Certainly, he was definitely one of the breakout stars, not only for his play, but just the way he connected with fans, kind of a modern John Daly. Again, being there at the Open when he kind of came out and everybody going crazy, screaming his name from each hole, it was pretty amazing to see. Okay, number 3, Ricky Fowler. Now, Ricky didn't have the best year on the course. In fact, I would say it was pretty disappointing. Some people even questioned if he should be a captain's pick for the Ryder Cup, but man, did he have a great year off the course, including making a hole-in-one for $1 million for Ernie Els's charity. He also was kind of the star at the Olympics. He didn't play that well, but he was kind of the U.S. representative. He obviously had that awful haircut that everybody was talking about. And then he just celebrated his 28th birthday. And among the guests at his birthday party, and he also had the Ryder Cup with him, was Cindy Crawford. Cindy Crawford was drinking out of the Ryder Cup with Ricky Fowler at his birthday. So he's kind of a big deal. Let's just say that. Number two, David Johnson. People are going to say, who's David Johnson? Not the running back for the Arizona Cardinals, who's breaking records. I'm talking about the fan at the Ryder Cup who was plucked out of the crowd before when he was heckling the European players. Henrik Stenson plucked him out of the crowd. He said, you try to make this putt. Rory McIlroy gave him his putter. Justin Rose laid down a $100 bill. He made the putt. The place went nuts. Yes. And it just was an incredible scene. He did one of the best celebrations you'll ever see, running around, hooping and hollering. And the Europeans loved it. The Americans loved it. And, of course, the crowd loved it. It just set the stage for such an amazing, amazing week at Hazeltine. And finally, number one has to be SD2K16. Of course, I'm referring to Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Smiley Kaufman, and Justin Thomas going on that brocation, whatever you want to call it, to Baker's Bay, living it up, playing shirtless golf, drinking, doing whatever, and we all just loved it. We all ate it up. We wished we were there with them. It looked like they were having such a great time. Jack Nicklaus has asked for an invitation the next year, so is Gary Player. Andrew B. Johnson wants to go next year, so the anticipation is already building. SB2K 17, where's it going to be? Who's going to go? We can't wait.
Okay. So maybe Tiger Woods wants to get into that shirtless scene. Yes.
Maybe Tiger Woods.
Right. He's, you know, I can take off my shirt too, and I can go on that bro vacation.
Exactly.
Oh, my. I love it. I love the way you've selected. And you know what's interesting about Ricky Fowler? He hasn't lived up to the hype in the game on the course. Yeah. But in the game, socially, I mean, he's, like you said, he's everywhere. He triggers people. He's got his own Tiger Woods factor going on. Which is interesting. I mean, certainly doesn't really move the needle like Tiger does, but Ricky is everywhere everyone should be. He's like this.
He does. And he for the youngest fans of the game, he's the most popular. I mean, I'm talking about the 5-year-old, the 6-year-old, 7-year-old. Is the people who were born since Tiger won his last major. Yeah. Ricky Fowler is the guy. I mean, his style, you know, he just stands out. The boldness with which he plays, obviously the boldness of his clothes. He is the guy that you see all these little kids dressing like him at tournaments. So you're right. I mean, he hasn't won a major yet. Of course, he did win the Players last year. He's had a lot of success. I don't mean to downplayed at all. Obviously, he's ranked in the top 10 in the world, so there's nothing to sneeze at there. But yeah, no major championships yet on the mantle. But yes, definitely a disappointing season for him playing wise. But yes, still, he is the guy that the young fans look to. And again, he's a guy who us golf writers love because he just gives us so much great stuff, especially off the course.
Yeah, Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford.
Fabulous.
I hadn't heard about Cindy Crawford in years.
I know.
And it was great to see her.
She looks great. Amazing.
Yeah,
you know, it was,
of course. Of
it was
course.
Wonderful. I was interesting to see that. I understand Dustin Johnson being the number one Golf Digest story, okay?
Right.
And what you said about him coming up and really finally winning a major, finally making his statement, but he says it so understated.
Yes, he does.
You know, it's like, hey, Dustin, get excited. It's not like he's out there, you know, when he fist pumps or anybody. He doesn't do that. He doesn't.
No.
What is it about him that is so, like, California laid back?
Well, that's a perfect way to describe it. I mean, I guess on one level you kind of wish he did more of that, but on the other level you say, well, that's probably why he's so successful, especially with all the stuff he's had to overcome on the course, with obviously the heartbreaks at all the majors and all the crazy things that happened to him, including this year when he finally did win, when he had the rules violation that everybody was talking about. And, the golf world was in chaos for those few hours. Nobody even knew what the leader was. It was crazy. And he just is so laid back. He's able to block all of that out. He said all along that he was able to block out all the other things. That there was the story last year after what happened to him at Chambers Bay that he went out the next morning and was playing golf with his family and in-laws. I mean, like, you know, he just keeps going. He doesn't let things bother him. And I think that just it's not a good sign for everybody else, because he actually admitted that this year he said he worked. His work ethic was about a 7.5 out of 10, and usually it's only a 5. So imagine if he dials it up to 8 or 9. I mean, we got to look out. But you know what? He's not. He doesn't give you the rah-rah fist pumps like Tiger used to, but he does give you that just awe-inspiring display of power that Tiger always did.
Yes.
And that's what gets people to watch as well. So it's not like he's a boring player by any means.
No. It's just, he's just, you know, California laid back. It's
exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Hello, Dustin. Yeah. And he's tall, you know, he's got that physique, and he's just amazing. You know, he's kind of a Stenson. Henrik Stenson on the European Tour is kind of like that as well, right? Just and then, as you said, emotions on the course can hurt you. So it really does help to keep it all out, you know, keep those emotions, put those emotions at home. Leave them at home, come to the golf course. This is awesome.
Exactly.
Can you shed some light on who Secret Tour Pro is?
Well, I know a lot of people. I know he tries to make people think that he's Adam Scott. And that's even, I think him putting Adam Scott as number 8 in his top 10 list is a little much.
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest. Adam Scott had a great start to the season. It was kind of like, wow, this guy might be the guy, blah, blah, blah. And kind of fizzled after that. So it wasn't, you know, he didn't win a major or anything. To put Adam Scott in that top 10, I think that's him playing with us again. I know he's tried to hint that he's Adam Scott at other times. I know some people thought he was at different times Jeff Ogilvy or Bernd Wiesberger. I honestly think I don't think he's a player. I think he's like the best friend of a player who works for an equipment company. That's my guess, because all his scoops are equipment scoops. He's always the guy who's saying, you know, so-and-so's going to change companies and this and that. And you know, so he knows that ahead of time. So I think he must be involved in the industry somewhat. But I just can't imagine he's a player, because he tweets so prolifically. I mean, he tweets more than I do, and I'm not out there, you know, on the golf course for 8 hours a day. So I don't know how he does it.
It's awesome. And finally, on the USGA controversy, I'm so glad. I almost wanted to put them number one, because I think this is the first time in history that the USGA has actually moved this fast to do something based on something that's happened that year.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think the fact that they have done that, obviously changing this rule, the so-called Dustin Johnson rule now, that they did it this quickly, because like you said, usually this stuff takes a long time. I mean, just look at the anchor ban. I mean, we heard about the anchor ban for years before it finally was installed. So you're right. I think that was a great move by them. They realized it was, you know, maybe not that they messed up, but that it was a weird rule. I had friends, you know, at least they had changed the rule earlier where it's like a weird the wind can blow your ball that you could penalize. At least they changed that. But now it's still up in the air. Could you tell if he moved it or not? It's too confusing. And what's great about what the USGA is doing right now, Mike Davis and Diana Murphy came by our office recently. They are in the midst of overhauling all of the rules and making them much simpler. And they think that they might be ready to unveil that as early as April of this year. So we might see a lot more of these just kind of throwing out all these, you know, lawyers, as they said, the rules were written by lawyers. They want to make it so you can understand them better, so you don't have to consult different decisions and this and that. They want it to be logical and easy to follow, and this was the first step. So great job by them, and that's why I don't want to harp on that as much, because A, Dustin Johnson won anyway, and B, I think they've learned their lesson and they're trying to make amends for that.
Absolutely. It was just stunning how quickly it's like all of a sudden they've geared up to the actual century we're living in.
Yes, exactly.
Alex Myers, so good to talk to you. I'm really thrilled to have you on as the year comes to a close. I wish you happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, everything.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you. Thank you so much for having me on, and we'll talk next year.
Yes, excellent. Talk
Take
to you
care.
Next year.
Thanks.
You too. Aloha.
Thanks,
we're going to come back. We're going to go to Kapalua. I'm going to Kapalua. I'm going to Kapalua the first week in January. That's next year, because that's where the Tournament of Champions, the winner's only event, is being played. And we're going to talk to the man responsible for setting the stage for the top players in the world, the winners only on the PGA Tour. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Kapalua is where champions come to play. The Tournament of Champions returns to the Plantation Course January 4th through the 8th. The PGA Tour invites you and your family to come and celebrate the start of 2017 with us on Maui. See your favorite players like Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Bubba Watson, and more. Tickets start at $15 for adults, and kids get in free.
Join me, Jordan Spieth, as I defend my title at Kapalua's Plantation Course. Tickets are on sale at pgatour.com/TOC.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
The Tournament of Champions coming up on the first week of the new year, and they're already arriving in Kapalua. The families, Jordan Spieth, Jason Duffner, Brant Snedeker, Hideki Matsuyama, Dustin Johnson, number one story of the year, Golf Digest determined, Dustin Johnson arriving. All of these guys are coming into play. The Tournament of Champions, the winner's only event on the PGA Tour at Kapalua's Plantation Course. And we're going to talk with the Director of Agronomy right now, David Small. Welcome, Smallwood, sorry. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. I got to ask you, what makes you most nervous? Who do you want to impress the most with your golf course for these guys?
Well, you want to impress all the players. Obviously, they've all won tour events earlier in the year or in the past year. All of these guys are really good. You want them to come to your facility and really enjoy the golf course, let the golf course challenge them, and have them walk away appreciating what Kapalua is.
Absolutely. And you know, it's always in such beautiful condition. The work that you do, I was just reading up on some of this stuff. The undulating greens that is signature a Kapalua's
sure.
Plantation course, huge, almost looks like you know the Lynx course greens. They're and the vericutting of the Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass and the top dressing that you do. Tell us how you do that.
Well, with any type of ultra dwarf Bermuda grass, they're high maintenance turf. In other words, if you don't maintain them at a high level through cultural practices such as top dressing, such as verticutting and aerifying, the greens are going to end up getting really soft on you, and they're not going to perform as you'd want them to perform. So we really have to balance that with daily guests coming through, who some of them don't want to see top dress greens or verticut greens. But it's really trying to balance that consistency between guest satisfaction and then just preparing a top 100 golf course for daily play.
Yeah, and that's it. It's a resort course, and it's a tournament course, a championship course. For those of us who don't know, what is verticutting?
Verticutting is actual mowing downward into the canopy of the turf grass instead of mowing the top of the turf grass blade off. So what you're doing is you're really thinning out some of the density of the turf, which is obviously going to speed things up. It's going to rip some of the grain out of the greens and give you a more consistent ball roll.
Okay, and the top dressing?
Top dressing is just like it, the word says, your top dressing with sand. It's a light layer of sand going onto the canopy of the green. And you're trying to really smooth the surface of the green out by filling in ball marks, filling in spike marks, whatever. You're just trying to have a more consistent putting surface.
During the tournament, when I'm there, I don't see the grain, the grains of sand. Do they go down as you roll the greens?
They do, and typically we'll back off about a week out. This year, this coming Tuesday, will be our final verticut and top dress. And at that point, we are mowing and rolling and really just trying to prepare the golf course on a daily basis for the tournament.
Now, remember the year the wind blew?
I very much remember that year, yes.
Yeah, there were only two holes. Everybody else is going, why is the horn blowing? I'm playing, you know, but it's like a howling 40-mile-an-hour, 50-mile-an-hour gusts.
That's correct.
Ripping the flagstick sideways. I was there. So it was like bizarre, right? Did you decide at that time that you had to control the speed of the greens more because of the potential wind factor?
Yeah, and I think when you're in tournament week, the PGA is going to dictate what you can't do as far as green speeds, as far as obviously if they're going to play the round of golf or if the conditions are just too much for them to get out there. The particular year you're talking about, we had flagsticks that were literally laying parallel to the green, so that the flag itself was touching the green. That's how hard the wind was blowing.
So do you keep it around 10, or do you try to go, does the tour, let me rephrase that, does the PGA Tour, for the PGA Tour's Tournament of Champions, this winner's only event, what speed do they like to keep those greens at?
They are very adamant with a green speed of 10, nothing more. And the reason for that, Danielle, as you alluded to, is the undulating greens and then the wind that Kapalua receives. And then looking at our forecast right now, those winds are supposed to be pretty steady on through the next 10 to 14 days. So I'm sure there's going to be plenty of eyes on the stint meter and seeing how fast the greens are actually rolling each day.
Interesting. Yeah. And maybe even slowing it down a little bit more just to keep the ball from oscillating. Fortunately, they've changed the rules a little bit to accommodate. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This this beautiful course, the Ben Crenshaw Bill Core, built in 1991, has a rating of 75.6 and a slope of 140. You know, for the what is slope rating?
Slope rating is just the difficulty of the golf course. With Kapalua, obviously the undulation, the unlevel shots you're having to hit in fairways. Obviously, undulating greens and the weather conditions are all going to produce a higher slope.
So being on the edge of the volcano, sort of with the down slope and the up and down, I understand that it's between 55 and 155, 55 being the easiest course, 155 being the most difficult slope rating, and 113 being about average or standard. So 140 is hard.
We're pretty high up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've got to throw in there. We are par 73. But the golf course is undoubtedly very challenging, especially when you have winds that get above 15 miles per hour. One of the great things with the plantation course in particular was Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw did a great job of designing the course with the wind. So that's why you hear people constantly say, you know, I hit a 340-yard drive on number 18. It was the longest drive of my life.
Yeah. Bravo.
It's a different animal. It truly is.
Yeah, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And if you play the plantation course, and you absolutely have to, it's a lot of people say it's their absolute favorite course. And don't take it seriously if you're not a great golfer. You know, just
that's a very good point.
You know, play it and enjoy the views, enjoy the walk, enjoy the ride. However, you know, even during the Tournament of Champions, they will use carts to move the guys from one point to another because the course is so big, it would take up too much time for them to actually walk in some stretches of the golf course. Yeah, it's gorgeous. I'm so looking forward to being there. Again, this is David Smallwood, Director of Agronomy at Kapalua Golf Resort, home of the Tournament of Champions, and we'll, of course, be there next week. And if you'd like to get tickets, you can get tickets at pgatour.com/TOC. You can also get tickets on Maui at selected locations, including, of course, the Pro Shop up at Kapalua. And for parking, when you go to the tournament, remember, you must park at the Lahaina Civic Center. That's where the public parking is, and then or by Uber or taxi. But at the Lahaina Civic Center, they will have vans to take you up to the plantation course. They just don't have parking up on the plantation course property. It's very, very narrow. It's not designed for huge public parking, and there's no place on the along the road to Kapalua or past Kapalua or anywhere near Kapalua to park. So you'll get turned around, then you'll be disappointed. You don't want to do that. Go to the Lahaina Civic Center. The vans are constantly moving. You won't feel trapped, and you'll really enjoy it. They just drop you right at the front entrance. You get your tickets, and you go inside. You don't have to buy tickets in advance. You can get them right at the gate. It's fabulous. And if you'd like to volunteer, I don't know if they still need any volunteers, but give them a call, 808-665-9160, 808-665-9160. Did I leave anything out, David? Who have you seen on the course? Have you seen anybody practicing yet?
I have not seen anybody practicing yet. I think the unique thing about this year is it falls so close to the holiday with the official start coming the 2nd of January. I think a lot of the folks are going to be traveling. A lot of the families will be traveling. So maybe right after Christmas, early next week is probably when we'll start to see the majority of the players and their families show up.
Yeah, I thought they'd be there and could just kind of like in hiding, just being with the family.
They could be.
You know?
They could be.
Just enjoying the holidays this week, and then they start to go, okay, I'm going to go check out the course and see what's happening with the wind up there.
Sure, because it's been blowing pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, great talking with you, David Smallwood, Director of Agronomy, Kapalua Golf Resort. A pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to go to the Sony Open in Hawaii at Wailea. Wailea? That's on Maui, Danielle. We're coming to Oahu at the Wailea Country Club. Thank you. I haven't moved the tournament. Sony Open in Hawaii, and there's a wonderful event that happens on Tuesday before the Sony. So Tuesday is the HTA Pro Junior Challenge. It's five Hawaii junior golfers who are really good, and they play with five PGA Tour professionals. They're paired, and then they play. And it's really quite, you can go watch. It's on Tuesday afternoon. It's really fun. And then on Thursday, the event starts. But we're going to talk to someone who's played twice that I know of. It's Zachary Kaneshiro. He's playing again this year, Mid-Pacific Institute HTA Pro Junior Challenge, Sony Open Hawaii, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
What's the big deal at the 2017 Sony Open? The Tour's big hitters take on Wileye January 9th through 15th. The 2017 Tour season means big names like Jimmy Walker, Fred Funk, PJ Singh, Zach Johnson, Hideki Matsuyama, KJ Choi. Big drama and big money for Hawaii charities. Get tickets now at SonyOpenInHawaii.com or at First Hawaiian Banks on Oahu. Military free with valid ID. Admissions and bag policy apply. Check it out at SonyOpenInHawaii.com.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter, but really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
The Hawaii Tourism Authority Pro Junior Challenge is Tuesday, January 10th at 2:45 at Wailai Country Club. It's free. You don't have to get tickets. And it's fun. And it benefits the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. It's a three-hole scramble shootout. And it's on Wailai's 10th, 11th, and 18th holes. The juniors are Justin Arcano, Claire Choi, Alicia Mai Mateo, and Evan Kawai. And the pros are Fred Funk, Parker McLaughlin, Rory Sabatini, Camilo Villegas, and Bryson DeChambeau. Yes, so these kids, including Zachary Kaneshiro, who's on the show with me right now, will be playing with the top stars on the PGA Tour. And certainly, when we think of Bryson DeChambeau, we think of somebody up and coming, very eccentric in his style of play, now that he's tried something new with the putter as well and the way he holds it. Zachary, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ms. Tucker. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, Zachary's really smart. He's volunteered with the golf brands of Acushnet, Titleist, FootJoy at their demo days. He gets involved in the school because he goes to Mid-Pacific, Mid-Pac. That's where one of my nephew and my niece went to Mid-Pac, into community service events. And he's qualified for the USGA Junior Amateur twice and twice at the Junior World in San Diego. And he works hard. He'll be joining the men's golf program at Santa Clara University after he graduates from high school this year. He has earned his way into the HTA Pro Junior Challenge on the points list. And he also went to the Asia Pacific Cup in Japan that was played this year. What was that like?
It was very different. The weather was really nice. I mean, we had weather of lows of 50s, highs of 70s, maybe just drizzle. The atmosphere was really different. I mean, the way they go about their tournament was really different. The course is really narrow, probably about like half the width of the fairways anywhere in Hawaii with tree-lined fairways.
Wow.
The greens were soft, but at the same time, the ball wouldn't spin as much as we expected. The guys we played against were really nice. I mean, we got along with them really well, and we exchanged contact numbers and things like that with them. It was a really well-run tournament. Everything about it was great, and it was definitely something that I'll never forget.
I bet. And when you say they run their tournament differently, the way they run tournaments there, what was the most different thing that happened?
I think it's just the way the golf course was set up that I thought it was differently. I mean, like, their range was pretty far away from, like, their clubhouse. So it took a lot of, like, shuttling for us. I mean, like, right after the round, since they're hosting us, they really wanted us to eat with the guys that we're playing with. So it kind of brought a connection between our playing competitors and us.
Yeah. But it's nothing like getting an experience of going to another country and finding out how something can be played different. You must, you know, it's like, wow, now I can see what all the people on the tours go through when they go from Korea to Japan to Taipei to Switzerland to, you know, wherever you happen to have the next tournament.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think the hardest part for us was the time difference and getting used to it, because the night we went in, it was kind of like we had an awkward flight time, so we had a lot of traveling and flights, so by the time we got there, we were kind of drained, so it took a lot of sleeping to catch up.
I can only imagine, because, you know, then you play all the very competitively. Now, this is your second year, Zachary?
Yes, I played this year. I played last year, and I'll be playing this year.
Okay, this is the Pro Junior Challenge now, the Hawaii Tourism Authority Pro Junior Challenge. It's a $10,000 purse, which is a donation to the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And thank you so much to the Hawaii Tourism Authority, Monarch Insurance for the whole sponsorship, of course, to HSJGA, Junior Participation, and the event beneficiary, but also Aloha Section PGA Foundation, Kraft Heinz Foods Company, all the people who are participating in making the Hawaii Tourism Authority Pro Junior Challenge such a big event, including KHON2, the media partner. So, Zachary, last year when you were paired, who were you paired with?
I played with Hao Tong Lee.
What was it like? No, did he speak English?
Yes, he did. He was actually really funny. I mean, it really helped with the experience of, like, the crowd on the first hole and being able to play with people who you watch on TV. It was fun. I mean, the pros doing that thing were really funny. A lot of them were cracking jokes. So it was a really just relaxing time, I felt. They made it a lot easier for us than we expected it.
But were you a little shaky? Did you knees all knocking, or did you have it all together?
The first tee, I think just seeing how many people were around was really, like, nerve-wracking. I mean, I could feel my hand shaking, but after the first tee shot, it pretty much went away. I mean, after that, it was more like, it just felt like it was just another, like, just round of golf for us, just having fun.
It's that first tee, boy. You know, it's like your name being called, and you're, really? Seriously? Did you have to say it that loud? And now, do you know who you're paired with? Because there's Fred Funk, Parker McLaughlin, Rory Sabatini, Camilo Villegas, and Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes, I'll be playing with Rory Sabatini this year.
Far out. Hey, now he's a very serious competitor. I mean, he's funny. He can be very funny, and so is Fred Funk. Great sense of humor.
Yeah.
So it should be a lot of fun. But I think you're going to find that you've got yourself a really good playing partner in Rory Sabatini.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited to be playing with him.
Yeah. And then Bryson DeChambeau, have you been following his equipment choices?
Yes, kind of, yeah.
I mean, all this single-length clubs, shaft, you know, so they're all the same length.
Yep.
What do you think of that?
I have no clue. I mean, it surely worked for him, and I'm sure it'll work for many other people.
Yeah.
I think it just simplifies it out for everyone.
And it's just interesting that he's so adamant in using his own style, you know, whether or not it's traditional or even works consistently, he's like very much behind whatever he decides to do, and good for him. I mean, it's exciting to watch, to see somebody try something different, and at the same time, there's a lot of skeptics. You know, to when you play, what's your club?
I use Altitlist.
Altitlist, yeah, that's great. And thank you to Titleist. Do they help you out?
A little bit. I mean, it really helps that I helped them with demo days, so it's more like I get to learn about, like, how the equipment works, how to fit people. It's nice because when I started, I didn't have a really good idea about, like, the difference in clubs and things like that. But since I've been helping them for about 3 years, it's a lot easier for me to figure out, like, what club works for me and, like, how I can, like, help others fit people to the right clubs that they should be using also.
That's nice, because that's the inside. Then you really get a sense of why you're using this club for this purpose.
Yeah, definitely. It helps, like, even using, like, something like the TrackMan, it really helps. I can, like, understand the numbers now from the fitting days and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting the inside view. Well, Hawaii Tourism Authority Pro Junior Challenge is Tuesday, January 10th at 2:45, Wailea Country Club. It's free. Folks, just come out to the Wailea Country Club. Parking shouldn't be, I'm not sure, you know, I don't have a parking where you should park, but it's not hard because I go pick up my media credentials on a day like that, and there's usually always a place to pull in. Usually the park has right there, the by Wailea Country Club, there's a little beach park, and they usually have some parking there. There's always the on-street parking is not really blockaded yet, so you should be able to get there just fine and go out and have some fun and cheer on Justin Arcano of Baldwin High, Claire Choi of Punahou, Alisa May Mateo of Maranol, and Evan Kawai of Punahou, and Zachary Kaneshiro, my guest this morning from Mid-Pacific Institute. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker, for everything.
Absolutely. Aloha.
Aloha.
And may you, you know, hit the sweet spot every time. We'll be back right after this. This is my Christmas gift to you. In addition to two rounds to the ninth caller at 808-296-5467. I'll give that number again. Poipu Bay is giving you two rounds of golf. 808-296-5467. The ninth caller, okay? But my other gift to you is Attila Saras, owner of SOS Tech Solutions and host of Think Tech Hawaii. And Attila, we've been hearing so much about, you know, Yahoo gets hacked, 1 billion accounts. First it was 500 million, then another billion, and people's information's being taken, and your credit card company is being hacked, and who knows what they got. And, you know, how safe are we? We're going to talk with Attila right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futura Stone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futura Stone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Kapalua is where champions come to play. The Tournament of Champions returns to the Plantation Course January 4th through the 8th. The PGA Tour invites you and your family to come and celebrate the start of 2017 with us on Maui. See your favorite players like Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Bubba Watson, and more. Tickets start at $15 for adults, and kids get in free.
Join me, Patrick Reed, as I try to win my second title at Kapalua's Plantation Course. Tickets are on sale at pjtour.com/TOC.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
We hear about companies getting hacked and they're losing our private financial information. We hear about Yahoo getting hacked and losing our passwords and who knows what other information. 500 million first, then 1 billion accounts. And we hear about countries hacking into each other's public and private servers. We hear about hackers shutting down power grids in major countries in Europe. where we're told they can bring up their systems back online faster than they can in the United States because our security on our power grid is less safe than those in Europe. So how do we protect ourselves from this full frontal assault, it would seem? Can they see through my computer when I'm sitting there? Can they access into my television screen, into my living room? I wonder. Let's talk to Attila Saras, SOS Technology Solutions, soshawaii.com. Welcome to the show, Attila.
Thanks, Danielle, for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I didn't overstate all of this, did I?
Well, unfortunately, I think you've understated it. It's easy to kind of, point the finger at the cloud and say the boogeyman is out there. But really what it comes down to is that our world consists of people. And people use technology. And sometimes people make bad choices or they make choices that they think are good, but maybe they're uninformed. And they get hurt. And the stuff that you hear about on the news, the LinkedIn hacks, the Yahoo hacks you mentioned, of course, biggest hacks in history from Home Depot and Target this year. That's just what makes the headlines. The people that really get hurt are the small people, localized people. And that's kind of what we end up dealing with all the time is these small businesses, small organizations that get what would seem like not a lot of money, maybe $250,000 stolen. And it's very hard for them to recover. And sometimes they fold. Sometimes they're able to survive. But just a perfect example is last month, Kukui Plaza. They had $276,000 stolen. And if you just kind of look back, even just what's happened locally, we have small real estate firms that are getting, anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 stolen each time. Financial planning companies, $50,000, $100,000. Construction companies, we've had a few of those over $100,000 stolen. And, they just have to kind of suck it up and move on. There's no way to get that money back. And it's getting worse and worse with the way that cyber criminals are getting smarter and smarter. They're using social engineering tactics to kind of lure people into clicking on links and emails. And the moment that they click on those links, it infects their computer. And that information is pretty much packaged up inside their system and sent off. And the criminals use it from there to really do some damage.
So the message I'm getting, A, is something that we hear a lot. If you get an email from somebody and you're not sure, delete it.
Well, exactly. And, I know it's kind of a big topic, so I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. But you have a lot of email accounts out there, which are relatively unsecured. And a lot of those are, unfortunately, local accounts, like the Hawaiian Tel, the Oceanic, the Hawaii Roadrunner account. The residential accounts, a lot of realtors, for example, use the Hawaii Roadrunner account. And the level of security that exists with a free email account is a lot less than you would have with a paid email account. And for that reason, it's very easy for an infected computer or cyber criminals remotely from abroad to be able to monitor those email accounts. And it doesn't even have to be an email that that comes in that says, hey, click here for your Amazon package. I'll give you a perfect example. Here's what has happened, is that an email account is compromised for a realtor. And the realtor says, hey, Mr. Customer, we have a great listing for you. You see the home. And the hacker is watching this correspondence going on between a realtor and a buyer.
This is a real buyer and the realtor.
Correct. And this has made local news, and this happened in several markets, not just here in Hawaii. So the home buyer is very interested, and the cyber criminal is just watching this correspondence go back and forth. They watch the person's calendar, the realtor's calendar, and they say, oh, look, it's 12 o'clock. They have a meeting somewhere else across the island. Great. So 12 o'clock, they send an email out to the home buyer, and they say, hey, you know what, Mr. Home Buyer, congratulations. Your offer has been approved. You know, please wire over your 20%, which is, you know, 20% of an average home out here of roughly $1 million. It's a lot of money. Please wire it to this account for your deposit right away so that we can secure your spot for this home. Great. They wire the money, and they wait. 2 days later, they reach out to the real estate agent. Hey, just wanted to follow up, make sure you got our money. And the real estate agent says, what money? That money's gone. It's been wired to an offshore account, and you'll never see that again.
This is Attila Sarest, SOS Technology Solutions, soshawaii.com. As you said, you'll never see the money again. You know, it's not like you've been dealing with anyone. You're not dealing with anyone you can get. The police can't get them. The FBI can't get them. Nobody can get them. I was watching a television program the other day, and one of the characters in the program, of course, the script is written by people, so what the words come out, this person said, oh, nobody's using the internet anymore. They're all using the dark web. And, you know, it's like, that was an interesting statement. The dark web, you know, we hear about it a little bit. Certainly don't want to go there. But that is where the nefarious information technology is exchanged. Bitcoins rule the realm. That's how money is exchanged on the dark web. When we talk about businesses being affected, local businesses, local banks being hacked, local companies losing money, how can they protect themselves?
Well, there's a few protections. So, you know, just going circling back to Kukui Plaza, there's a perfect example there. Now, for them, they're a local AOAO. Their money was stolen, about $276,000. It took them a few months to kind of figure out, money's gone. And they haven't released too many details, to be fair. But the experts kind of assume that there was some sort of social engineering involved where someone clicked on an email message and it infected a system and it was able to monitor their bank usage. So they, on an infected computer, they logged into their bank. And once that happened, a third party could then access that bank as well. Now, there's different consumer protection versus business level protection when it comes to your banking. A bank will insure a certain amount of your personal funds if they are stolen. But as a business, they assume that you know what you're doing, and that same level of protection doesn't exist. So there's no really real way to get any sort of remediation if that money is stolen from your bank account. In terms of protecting yourself, I mean, a lot of small businesses out here, and I want to say small businesses that's less than 50 employees, which consists of over 98% of Hawaii's economy. Those businesses typically go out and they say, all right, we're going to build a small computer network, you know, 5 to 10 computers, maybe 15. And those computers are going to be protected by a $100 firewall we're going to buy from our local retailer. That just doesn't cut it anymore, because essentially that firewall is the barrier between you and the outside world. So having the proper equipment in place is a good place to start. Obviously, antivirus software, that's great, but there's different levels, just like everything else. I mean, you wouldn't expect to walk into a commercial kitchen and have the same kind of pots and pans be used there as you would see, say, at a Costco. They have commercial-grade pots and pans there. And in the same way, there's commercial-grade virus, spyware, web monitoring, protection software out there. And, you know, if you go out and you get the home stuff, that's not going to cut it in the environment. And, you know, there's some arguments behind that. They say, oh, yeah, you know, I've been using this this product, Norton Express, or Symantec, whatever, for a few years, and I haven't seen anything come up. But the way that these newer rootkits are engineered, once they get in, you won't know that they're there. And we actually have a very difficult time in even detecting them sometimes. because they're like a very hidden Christmas gift that goes very deep underneath the tree. The branches cover it very well. It's very difficult to be able to see that your computer is actually infected or that there's some level of malicious software that's running on there that's intercepting all of that web traffic that's going between you and the internet. And for that reason, it's very scary from a business perspective to be able to operate with some level of confidence knowing that there's some sort of infection here. The firewalls and the equipment that goes in between you and the internet is the same way. Firewall software needs to be updated regularly. A lot of times, even the equipment that ships on the shelf, we know this particularly around Christmas time, the rush products typically ship with faulty firmware. Firmware is the software that actually runs on the equipment itself. And if there's a vulnerability or an exploit on that software that runs on that equipment, you're going to be out of luck the moment that you plug it in because hackers, of course, and cyber criminals use automated robots, and they use thousands of them, if not millions of them, to scan the internet, looking on a regular basis for any sort of vulnerability, exploit, anything that they can take advantage of. And the moment that they find that, it hones in, and that's when they really start to go after it. So even the equipment that you get out of the box, you got to make sure that all the software, firmware, security, everything that it's plugged into right now is up to date. And that's a good place to start. And of course, monitor your, sorry, Daniel, circling back to your original question, what can a business do? Be sure you monitor your bank accounts on a regular basis. Be sure that your software and systems are fully protected. And if there's any doubts, just know that there's probably something in there. Usually when we walk into an organization that has been compromised, they know something's up. Something's been bothering them for a while. Weird pop-up. I don't know why. Things are just running really slow. Yeah, maybe we should look at it. And sure enough, we look at it, and it's a big old ball of wax. I hate to say it. It's not an easy answer, and it's only getting more and more complex. I mean, 2016 is revealed some of the worst hacks in history. 2017 is just going to get worse. And now we're heading into the Internet of Things. Danielle, do you know anything about the Internet of Things?
I'm sorry, just a second. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. And I just want to congratulate Darcy. You, Darcy of Honolulu, you are the winner of the two rounds to Poipu Bay. You're going to go play golf there. On a much lighter note, we had to go for a moment. Now, say again, what are you asking me if I've heard about?
Sure, the Internet of Things.
The Internet of Things.
Huh?
Now we've got the dark web, the Internet that everybody goes to, and now the Internet of Things. No, tell me.
Well, I can talk for a whole half hour about the dark web. So,
well, we don't have that much time. And, you know, I think my whole idea of my gift to people listening is that they need to know that you just can't go online, and it's like you're not in a sandbox playing with a bunch of friendly people here. You know, there are people watching and are going to try to take advantage of you as quickly as possible. And the hacks that were revealed in 2016 happened in 2014. So goodness knows what's happened that they haven't even told us about. So you just got to be careful. And one would hope that the authorities, the FBI, and whomever is out there taking a look at how our information technology and what, you know, where it's going and how people are using it are getting the word out to people. Like I'm trying to hear with Attila Saris of SOS Technology Solutions. He's soshawaii.com. That you take it seriously because you don't want to get hurt. You don't want your business to be hurt. And Attila, you were telling me, you know, there's lists of people who are compromised. There are people who know that people have been compromised. Are those people being informed?
Well, that's a very scary kind of topic, and you're absolutely right about the FBI and HPD trying to get involved with this stuff. Unfortunately, by the time they get involved, it's a little bit too late. And there are out there, so the inside in the dark web, so think of the internet kind of like an iceberg. The very top is like public internet, Yahoo, CNN, you know, everyday kind of, you know, safe places to go. However, most of the web, which is kind of, because the web is almost infinite, no one really knows how large it is, but the majority of it is considered the dark web, and the very bottom is the deep web. In these places is where you'll find things like drug trafficking and all those kind of nasty things that you know, you see on CSI. That's the kind of stuff that ends up in the deep web. And the FBI and law enforcement do their best to monitor that activity to prevent big things from happening and bad things from happening. Yeah. And in that space, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's gone are the days where the guy with the, you know, the big coat hiding the machine gun with the hat covering his eyes, you know, the sunglasses. That's all. That was easy to deal with. Yeah. You know, the mob, as it was in television movies and what have you. Now you don't know who you're dealing with. It's O's and ones and combinations of things, you know. So I appreciate the difficulty that we've got going on here. The Internet of Things, yes. The Internet working of physical devices, vehicles. Is that what you're talking about when we go to that level? Because I don't want to get too dark here.
Well, of course. And coming up in this next year, you're going to see a big push towards the Internet of Things. And there's some question about this.
That's when your refrigerator is connected to the internet, so they can hack into your home through your refrigerator. Let's say that is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, and the most famous cases of that have been baby monitors.
There you go. Yes.
Baby monitors.
Yes. So you know, so all of these things that we think are conveniences in life may actually not be so convenient in the resulting implications to our safety. So I just want you to know, and if you want more information, and we'll keep in touch with Attila Saris and his soshawaii.com. For now, that's pretty much the time that we have. And we should do little segments, yeah?
Sure. Yeah. We have to come on.
Yeah, just to keep people informed about what's the latest hack and what they can do. And again, just you got to make sure that you don't think that something like McAfee that you download from the internet, which by the way probably could hurt you more than help you, by downloading the software from the internet, it's like you're downloading the software with anything other bug that's coming with it. So it's best to have somebody, if you're a small business, check out your system, make sure that you're safe. It's worth the investment. Attila, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Absolutely. We're going to go to Australia, Kingston Heath. It's a private golf course, and they take their golf very seriously, like they take their cuisine. Featured in Golf Kitchen. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
What's the big deal at the 2017 Sony Open? The Tour's big hitters take on Wailea January 9th through 15th. The 2017 Tour season means big names like Jimmy Walker, Fred Funk, BJ Singh, Zach Johnson, Hideki Matsuyama, KJ Choi. Big drama and big money for Hawaii charities. Get tickets now at SonyOpenInHawaii.com or at First Hawaiian Banks on Oahu. Military free with valid ID. Admissions and bag policy apply. Check it out at SonyOpenInHawaii.com.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Wow, you know, I just want to say congratulations to Brenda Rego and Hal Okita. They're going to be in the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame. It's so exciting, and they'll be inducted officially in February when the Aloha section gets together for its annual awards banquet, the Ho'olauleia annual awards banquet. I'm really looking forward to seeing Brenda Rego and Hal Okita bedecked in lei. It's going to be a really fantastic. And I'd love to go and see Kingston Heath right about now, although it's probably, what, 5:10 in the morning? And the sun may be coming up soon. Chef Warwick Hilly is head chef at Kingston Heath Golf Course, host of the 2016 World Cup of Golf. Welcome to the show, Chef Willie. Chef Hilly.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Chef Hilly, are you there? Yay! I'm here. I'm so glad.
It's just gone 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock in the morning.
And what time does the sun come up?
Oh, about another hour.
About another hour? Yeah, we've got sunshine. Yeah. We've got rain. Is it your summer or your winter? It's your summer, isn't it?
It's our summer. Yep. It's Christmas Day. It's going to be 35 degrees. I'm not sure what that is in Fahrenheit.
Probably a lovely 75, 80 degrees, something like that. Chef Warwick Hilly is head chef of Kingston Heath Golf Course, and he's featured in Golf Kitchen. Golf Kitchen is a 600-page coffee table book, but it's more than that. It's not just something that you put on the coffee table and open up. It's got recipes from these fantastic chefs from around the world, chefs who are in the top private golf courses, Kingston Heath Golf Course in the case of Chef Warwick Hilly. And, you know, we've been talking with chefs at Winged Foot and chefs at Tradition Golf Club in California, the Emirates Golf Club in Dubai. Today's feature course is Kingston Heath in Melbourne, Australia. Beautiful sandbelt. I was wondering, what was it like when you were chosen to be one of the featured chefs in Golf Kitchen?
Oh, look, we were so excited. We were approached by Diana and her team, and our general manager Greg Chappell said, "Are you interested in doing this?" I said, "Sure, why not?" You know, we're well now known throughout the world as one of the premier sandbelt courses, and it was a good chance for us to showcase my team and the food that we do there, and a bit of an Australian produce to show off to the rest of the world. So we're very excited. Yeah.
After reading the interview, because the book is some recipes of the chef, and it's has an interview with him, and there's photos, of course, of the gorgeous golf course. When I was reading the interview with you in Golf Kitchen, I came away with a feeling that your members have like haute cuisine in the snack shop.
Yeah, our members are very, very spoiled. We do a wide range of food for them. You know, we're not a country club nor a restaurant. We're a golf club, and we do the food that our members need. It can be anything from a sandwich to a club sandwich. We do fine dining dinners, wine dinners, broad range of catering for them.
Beautiful. And the golf course is spectacular. What was it like during the World Cup?
That was a very, very, very busy time. It was amazing to see all those golfers from around the world. We had 56 teams, two of the top-ranked players from each country. The course looked fantastic on television. To have so many overseas guests. We did some Australian barbecues on the lawn. We had a great time showing off what we can do.
Kingston Heath Golf Course. It's a private club, but it's not like a country club. So your members are they're golfers, and they want to be fed well so they can play the course well. Have you changed their menu since going to Kingston Heath, becoming the head chef?
Yeah, look, that was one of the when I went for an interview there. We wanted to change the direction of the food at the golf club. So the members do predominantly just come there to play golf, but they do bring their friends and guests there to show off. So, we changed the menu a lot. We also had to change the team in the kitchen because I was pretty much starting with just myself there, a couple other staff members, and we've changed the food a lot. We've turned it around. We give the members what they want, but we also try to do what we want as well, and they're pretty happy.
What do you like to cook?
Oh, wow. Look, I love everything, really. There's no real one thing I love to do, but I love doing the wine dinners because we get to use the Australian produce, which we're so lucky over here with the fresh seafood and the game. Barramundi, for example, using kangaroo. We use kangaroo a lot. Have you ever had kangaroo?
No, I haven't. You got to keep talking.
Kangaroo, I think if I could... It's very much like venison or deer, got to cook it very quickly or for a very long time, but it's got lovely flavors. We serve that with our Shiraz, goes very well. And, when it's done right, it's fantastic. It's one of those dishes, though, if you get it wrong, it's bloody awful.
So we'll want to have Chef Warwick Hilly with us on, what is it called when you go out to the, the outback, right? To catch your
outback. Yes.
Yes. You go catch your roux and, we'll want to have you with us to cook them because otherwise we'll do a terrible job.
Exactly. Yeah.
I hear you also do, wine events, wine dinners, when your members will go into their own cellars and bring their wine, and then you pair something with whatever they've brought?
Yeah, that's right. The members of our club, they're all pretty, they love their wine and their food. So, we do cellar lunches where, they bring their own wine in. We'll theme the event. It could be a Pinot lunch or a Chardonnay or a Sauv Blanc, and then we theme the lunch depending on what wines they bring in. We do a few mystery wines as well. So, we have some great fun with that.
It sounds like it. You sound like a fun person to have as being the head chef at Kingston Heath Golf Course. When did you – I have to, admit that since reading your biography sort of in Golf Kitchen, this beautiful book, that I know that you – went into a school, and then when it became co-ed while you're there, they offered home economics. And,
that's right.
Yeah. So was it really to learn how to cook or to meet the girls?
It was to meet the girls. Because my mate and I, we were like, wow, next year the girls are coming. Let's do cooking because we can be with the girls. And but bugger me, I found out I was good at it.
So you discovered that this was your calling, and then you go from Australia to England, and also in your bio you said that you didn't do a lot of cooking at home because you had a very English upbringing. What did you mean?
Well, okay, look, the thing is, unfortunately, I lost my father when I was quite young, so my mum worked very hard. She was working, almost two jobs, and she was studying to be a teacher to bring more, you know, to look after these three kids. So mum was pretty busy, so we all kind of helped out in the kitchen. So I didn't have that, I guess, that classic a European upbringing where you're kind of standing next to Nonna in the kitchen making a gnocchi.
Yeah.
You know, it was just pretty much not fended for ourselves, but we had to, you know, the food was very, it was a very English, very staple.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, so I didn't, yeah, so it wasn't really at home that I got my passion for cooking. It was just something that I stumbled across in home economics when I thought I was going to be meeting girls at school.
Right, and you did, and you had a good time, and then you went to England. What was it like going from Australia here, you know, I mean, it's certainly a big country, but most people don't stray that far from home when they're growing up, and then all of a sudden you're in Europe. Did you find that exciting?
Yeah, that was a great chapter of our lives. My wife, Sarah, my girlfriend back there, we travelled overseas, and we landed in London, and we went to an agency because people were looking for my wife worked out on the front, on the floor, and I was in the kitchen. So they pretty much gave us three or four places to choose. Where would you like to work? And we said, well, we heard that the Wales coastline's spectacular, so we'll do the summer season in Wales. So, the next day we were working in Wales, and then we got to work in Coventry as well in England. But, different world, different terminology. That's where I taught the guys in England some Aussie expressions like snags. Now that's what we call sausages. So that was my nickname, snags.
Snags. Now, everybody, this is S-N-A-G-S, snags.
That's so, right. Yeah,
right?
Snags.
Right. So if somebody tries from Australia to try to, you know, give you some snags, you'll know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Exactly. I'd be wary, but yes, that's just what they're talking about.
It's marvelous. And what did you pick up in Europe that you didn't know about cooking in Australia? Was there something that you adopted in your techniques?
I think the one thing I did learn that how lucky we were with our produce in Australia, and the variety and the choices. We're really spoiled down here, you know, with the abundance of fresh fruit, vegetables, meat and seafood. You know, look, whilst I learnt a lot of things in the UK, I most certainly taught them a lot of things as well. But it was really the terminology of things. You know, I was kind of confused by what they were talking about. It took me a couple of days to get my head around it. But, no, we got there. It was a very memorable trip. I had a great time.
Chef Warwick Hilly is head chef at Kingston Heath Golf Course. He's featured in Golf Kitchen. Golf Kitchen is a 600-page book. It can be used as a coffee table book because it's got gorgeous photographs. Lots of information about private clubs, country clubs, golf course clubs. Kingston Heath is a golf course that private members play at, but it doesn't have tennis courts and what have you. And so it focuses totally on the golf course and then eating, but mostly snacks. But then there's the dinners and the wine dinners. Makes me want to go right now. And inside the book, there are chef interviews and recipes from the kitchens of the venues like Winged Foot and Kingston Heath. So, Chef Hilly, can you tell us what was one of your recipes? Because I haven't seen it yet.
Well, every recipe in there is from the kitchen of the golf club. So, you know, we've done the interesting one was the Tiger Club sandwich. I can tell you how that came about. In 2009, we hosted the Australian Masters, and Tiger Woods was our feature player. We didn't have a club sandwich on the menu, but he asked for one, and never seen so many chefs rush around the kitchen putting together a club sandwich for Tiger Woods. It was that popular. It's actually stayed on the menu ever since.
Tell us how it's made.
Well, we use free-range eggs, free-range bacon. You know, it's pretty much, I'm sure you guys over there are familiar with a club sandwich. You know, we serve this with a Cooper's Pale Ale beer, you know, a double-stacked toasted sandwich with fries in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Yeah, the only one thing, that Tiger Woods doesn't like mayonnaise, so we had to put no mayo on his, but we put mayo with it now.
Okay, yeah, just for him. Oh, this is great.
Exactly, well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What was
look after him.
Well, yeah, you had to look after him. You know, it's Tiger Woods. What was it like having Tiger on the property versus, you know, you experienced the World Cup of Golf 2016 with all these fabulous players from around the world were there. Was there a different scene with Tiger on the course?
Yeah, look. Tiger was, he had a bit of an aura about him when he, you know, we knew when he was in the clubhouse because you had probably about five or six security guards walking. For him. So, but the thing is, the crowds were massive. It was real Tiger mania. I mean, I know I'm going back to 2009, but, you know, we had, even on the practice days, we had, you know, thousands of people on the course just wanting to see Tiger Woods. It was just, it was crazy. He'd walk through the kitchen, actually, to get to the media marquee. So every day we kind of, like, he would kind of go past and say, g'day, how you going? Well, I don't know if he said g'day, but we did. it was amazing.
I was just thinking, wow, did he really try to adopt the local lingo?
No, all the chefs are pretty excited to see Tiger Woods. He's one of those people who has an aura about him. I've heard that of other people like Greg Norman, the golfer too. They have that
yes.
aura about him, and certainly Tiger. One thing was, he's actually taller than we all imagined. He's quite solidly built.
Yeah, and Adam Scott. Adam Scott,
yep.
And everybody, I mean, Jeff Shackelford is a frequent guest on my show. In fact, he'll be on next weekend. We do our annual kind of a look at the year that we've had and look at the year that's coming. Jeff Shackelford is quoted, I think, on your website or in Golf Kitchen, a website, and you can go to Golf Kitchen and find the book that you can order. And Jeff Shackelford calls Kingston Heath Golf Club one of the best in the world. So, I mean, for Jeff Shackelford to say that, that's big. I really want to thank Chef Warwick Hilly, head chef at Kingston Heath Golf Course, for being on the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, look, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to everyone tomorrow in America. And we'll celebrate it today. But I've had a great time. Thank you so much for what you've done, putting on the radio. And thanks to Diana. For or getting this book organized, it's been memorable.
Awesome. Chef Hilly, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. See you later.
Aloha. We're going to thank the people who make this show possible, because without our sponsors, we wouldn't be able to be on the air. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem, has an outstanding pro shop. And if you're doing last minute shopping, you know, why don't you just go over to, I know, Play 3, 7, 9, 18, however many holes you want to put in. You don't have to go play 18 holes of golf. It's not necessary. They even have programs like in the afternoon at Poipu Bay where you can play 3 holes after you've warmed up on the range and hit a bucket of balls, and then you get a cart and you play the first 3 holes, which happen to be a 3, 4, and 5, and that's $35. I mean, that is so awesome, and that's what Poipu Bay does. They do all those cool things. And inside the pro shop, there are all kinds of gift ideas if you don't feel like going to the shopping center. And if you're on Oahu, of course, the same thing holds for here at our golf courses on Oahu. Just go over to a course, pick up some golf balls. You know, Vice Golf. Oh, did you hear about the golf balls that they're selling over at Costco? They've been compared to the Titleist Pro V1. Isn't that amazing? Yes, Costco has golf balls, and they're supposed to be really, really good. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for your business. It's Rainer Doors. Rainer Doors. Okay, and I want to thank Rainer Doors for being a sponsor. Sony Open in Hawaii, first full field event of the PGA Tour in the new year, of course. At Wailea Country Club, January 9th through the 15th, SonyOpenInHawaii.com. You can get more information. You can get your tickets at any First Hawaiian bank. Ouch. And I just want to say that I'm so sorry to hear that Grace Cobb died. It's just really hard. When I said First Hawaiian Bank, that's what just hit me again. Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. You got to keep the water in the pipes. If the water's coming out of the pipes, it's just so inconvenient. So you have to call Creative Plumbing. The Tournament of Champions, it's on the Plantation Course at Kapalua. It's a winners-only event. It is January 4th through the 8th at Kapalua, where the champions come to play. You can find more information at pgatour.com/tournaments. In fact, you can get your tickets there, too. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse floor, your home project, whatever you're working on, give Creative Plumbing a call for the pipes and Futura Stone, because Futura Stone will turn your project into artwork. And Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. He might just save your game. Vision 54 coach and Aimpoint certified. Had a great playing lesson with Claude Brousseau. You can find him at Claude 4, that's the number 4, Claude 4, bestgolf@gmail.com. Happy holidays. It's Hanukkah today, the beginning of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah. It's Christmas Eve, and a Merry Christmas. Be safe this weekend. May you hit the sweet spot every time, and thank you for your mana. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.